Hello and welcome to this short audio version of the web talk for Sunday the 14th of June. Whatever time of day or whatever day it is with you, or from wherever in the country you are as you listen to this, it is my hope and my prayer that you will be blessed and that God will be glorified during our short time together. Let us begin by reading from God's Word, just a short a few verses to reorientate our mind and to focus upon God. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. These words from Romans chapter 8, verses 33 and 34 are a wonderful reminder that when, through faith in Christ, we are declared innocent of sin by God, no one and nothing can condemn us. Such verses are therefore a reminder that in Christ we truly have a blessed assurance. Let us now come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for this day and for your tender mercies towards us. We give thanks to you for being able to approach your throne of grace, where we know you will extend your royal scepter toward us and permit us to enter your presence to speak with you. We give you thanks that you hear our requests and answer us in accordance with your just and righteous divine will and purpose. Blessed be your great name, O Lord. We give you thanks that though we are as nothing before you, through faith in Christ, we are received as your children whom you lavish with your everlasting, steadfast, unconditional love. We give you thanks that though we are stained with sin, through faith in Christ, we are washed whiter than snow. As your word teaches us, you remove our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. I know how we need your forgiveness. For as the psalmist declares, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. None of us, O Lord, can claim to be innocent of sin. We have sinful thoughts and attitudes. We commit sin by some of the things we do and say, and by some of the things we fail to do and say. Forgive us, we pray, and help us to turn from our sinful ways. Create in us a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within us. Restore unto us the joy of your salvation, and grant us a willing spirit to sustain us. Hear this our prayer, O Lord, we pray. In Christ's name. Amen. Now I want to read from God's Word. So if you have your Bibles at hand, can I encourage you to open them at 1 Kings chapter 17, where we will begin reading from verse 1. So 1 Kings chapter 17, where we will begin reading at verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward and hide in the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have instructed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Some time later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have instructed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little jar of water so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me a piece of bread, please." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jug and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy 3 times and cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." And now we turn to reflect upon this passage of Scripture. As we continued our look at people of faith in the Bible, we turn this week to the story of Elijah. Elijah is what we might call an Old Testament heavyweight, someone who, as a prophet, had a ministry that revealed the power of God in dramatic, miraculous ways. Elijah did not simply declare the word of God, but rather, time and again, he also demonstrated the amazing power of God. However, to understand why this was so, we need to appreciate the ministry, or the background to his ministry. Elijah was chosen by God to be his prophet during a time when the northern Jewish nation, Samaria, was being ruled by a king called Ahab, who, as the closing verses of chapter 16 tell us, had the dubious accolade of doing more to provoke the Lord's anger than all of his predecessors. Ahab was married to Jezebel, the daughter of the Phoenician king, and he had embraced her pagan religious beliefs of Baal worship. However, it wasn't just the case that they worshipped this pagan deity in the privacy of their palace, because as the closing verses of chapter 16 reveal to us, they actively promoted his worship in the nation. Therein we are told that Ahab built a temple for Baal in Samaria, the capital city of the nation, and the name by which the northern kingdom came to be known. So in essence, Baal worship was legitimized by the state. It was no longer denounced, but actively encouraged. This set the nation on a collision course with God, as it were, because they were his chosen people. As such, They were his instrument by which his name was to be made known to the wider world. But by worshipping another deity alongside or in place of him, they were defaming his name as opposed to glorifying him. They were calling into question God's power and authority and the legitimacy of his claim to be the only God. So God, through Elijah, set about to prove to his unfaithful people that he was God alone. He set about to prove that what he declared was dependable, that his word was true. Elijah, as the opening verses of the chapter 17 tell us, declared to Ahab that there would be neither dew nor rain over the next few years unless he, at the Lord's command, said there would be. Now, with the distance of time and difference in culture, we can easily miss the direct challenge that this was to the authority and legitimacy of Baal as a god. Baal, you see, was believed to be the god of fertility and the lord of the rain clouds. So by withholding rain for a period of several years, 3.5 years as it turned out, God was proving that Baal was powerless to provide what the nation desperately needed, and that he alone had authority over the elements. The people could try to invoke Baal all they wanted. They could sacrifice continually to him. They could call upon him until they were hoarse. They could dance before him until they were exhausted. But he could do nothing, because he was nothing other than a deaf, blind, mute, motionless image crafted by man. These people were going to learn the hard way that anything they worshipped other than God was a waste of their time, effort and resources. Anything other than God might promise much but could deliver nothing. Instead, it would only take, take and take from them. It would only enslave them, not liberate them. It would only disappoint them, not satisfy them. You know, many things have changed or may have changed since Elijah's time, but this has not. Anything we choose to worship other than God will ultimately lead to disappointment. Only God can deliver on his promises. Only God is true to his word, because he alone is God. Only he can deliver us from the consequences of our sin through faith in Christ. Only he can make us righteous in his sight, as though we are without sin. Only he can give us eternal life. So as you listen to this, I wonder who or what are you trusting in and worshipping for the salvation, for your salvation? Because if it is anything other than God, then I humbly caution you that you are wasting your time. Following Elijah's declaration to Ahab, he then was instructed by God to go and hide in the Kereth Ravine, which is a location beyond the border of Israel, where the brook would provide him with water and ravens at the Lord's command would provide him with food. With this command, the Lord acted not only to protect Elijah from the wrath of Ahab, but it was also a symbolic removal of his word from his people. Ahab and the people had chosen to walk in darkness, so that is exactly what the Lord gave them over to. Not only were they going to have to endure the absence of rain, but also the absence of God's word. God would remain silent and distant from them and let them live with the consequences of their folly. This illustrates both the seriousness of sin and how it separates us from God. When we stick two fingers up at God, as it were, when we reject his ways and live in opposition to him, we cut ourselves off from him. God's word, the Bible, is closed to us so that it is devoid of meaning. We may read or hear from it, but we do not understand. And if we do pray to God, he remains silent. It is as though the sky is made of iron. What we need to understand is that God cannot be mocked. We cannot reject God and simultaneously expect him to treat us as though we are his loving, faithful children. So if we choose to ignore God, he will return the favour. It is only when we acknowledge our sin and turn away from it and humbly seek his forgiveness, that God will answer us. Then, as opposed to being our judge, he will become our salvation. Then, as opposed to being silent, he will answer us. So Elijah did as the Lord commanded and went to the ravine, where, true to his word, the Lord provided for his faithful servant, and in doing so, proved his sovereignty over nature. How else can one explain the ravens bringing bread and meat to a man each morning and evening? But in the course of time, the brook dried up, and God commanded Elijah to go to a town called Zarephath, which was located in the heartlands of Baal worshipping territory. There Elijah was told that a widow could or would provide for him, and once again Elijah followed the Lord's command, and once again thereby he demonstrated his absolute faith in God. To us it may not sound so bad, but to Elijah it really was a test of his faith. Widows in those days were destitute. They had lost their only means of support and protection, so this woman was hardly likely to have the resources to sustain Elijah. Not only that, but she was steeped in the pagan beliefs of Baal worship, so she was hardly likely to be welcoming to a prophet of God. Nonetheless, Elijah took God at his word and went, whereupon the Lord provided not only for his faithful servant, but also for this woman and her son. As we know from the text, when Elijah asked her for some food, she explained that she only had enough for one more meal for herself and her son. But Elijah told her not to fear. He told her to go and make him a small cake of bread, and then make something for herself and her son, because the Lord, the God of Israel, had declared that her flour and oil would not run out until rain came once more. And so began a display of immense faith by this woman. As we are told, she complied with Elijah's request and found, no doubt to her amazement, that the Lord was good to his word. But this miracle required continuous faith from her, in that each day she had to use up all her meager resources, believing that the Lord would replenish or miraculously replenish them for the next day. And therein we are given a wonderful example of faith, day by day, depending totally upon God, wagering everything on the reliability of his word. In the course of time, this woman was to have her fledgling faith severely tested when her son died. But then she was to discover that God has not only the power to sustain life, but also to provide it. She discovered that nothing, not even death, can defy him. Many centuries after this, another son would suffer what to many at the time was a pointless death, but it too was not without purpose. This son was none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for our sins and rose again to prove his victory over sin and death. He gave his all so that we who have nothing to offer God but our sin might through faith in him gain eternal salvation. That is what the word of God declares to us. And I, for one, am prepared to step across the threshold of eternity, believing it and it alone. I wonder though, can the same be said of you? Let us once again pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is true and can be depended upon without fear of it failing. We thank you that it, because you have uttered it, cannot fail. We thank you that what you have promised will come to pass, that no one and nothing can prevent your promises becoming reality. Help us, O Lord, to listen to your word, not only to hear, but also to heed it. May it, O Lord, be the lamp for our feet and the light on our path as we navigate our way through life. And how, O Lord, we need the light of your word in our world today. We live in a world where, although you created us all equally, we have decided that we know better than you, and we treat others who are different to us as though they are not equal to us. Heavenly Father, in recent days and weeks we have seen people demonstrate against equality and its bedfellow injustice. And whilst the majority of these have been peaceful, there have been elements who are bent on violence and destruction. Lord, we pray that such people would be prevented from causing further division, discord and destruction. And we pray that as a nation we would be healed of the cancer of inequality and injustice that eats away at the fabric of our society. We continue to pray, O Lord, for our nation's battle against COVID-19. We thank you that the transmission rate and deaths have dropped dramatically in recent weeks. And we pray this trend will continue. Help us, O Lord, as a nation to be patient with the measures taken to ease the lockdown. May we not do anything rash that would damage the hard-won achievements made against this virus. As this situation continues, O Lord, we have heard about the increasing toll it is taking on people's mental health. So, Heavenly Father, we pray that all who are suffering in this way would seek and receive the appropriate help they need. Grant your grace, comfort, and strength not only to them, but also to their loved ones who so often suffer in silence. Help us, O Lord, to be aware of this terrible affliction and to draw alongside all those who are afflicted in this way. Hear this, our prayer, O Lord, in Christ's glorious name we pray. Amen. And now we come to the close of our short service, and I will close in the traditional manner by saying the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all from this day and forevermore. Amen.